seated. The story goes that once a man built his dream garage. This was the special one to the side of the house. It was not one where the car would go into every day. It was not the kind of garage where you keep the Christmas decorations and boxes or the summer supplies like chairs and buckets and umbrellas. This garage had a polished concrete floor and a lift for a car or a truck. The cabinets lined the sides along the walls, every wrench, every socket organized by size. There was space for woodworking, a hobby, possibly a side hustle to be explored. With the tables were there, the equipment all precisely placed. There was a heater for winter, air conditioning for the summer. And there was even a restroom, and not a half bath, but just in case a person was working and wanted to get cleaned up before returning to the house, there was a shower in place. And yet, this man never used it. No cars restored or repaired, no wood projects tackled. It looked great. However, without purpose, it was just an empty building. Beautiful, yes, in its own way, yet useless because not used. Solomon's temple was very grand, but it could have been like that unused garage if not filled with the glory of God. Jesus found the temple area filled with activity, but empty of true worship. The question for us today is, are our lives empty shells, or are they true dwelling places for God's presence? Now again, to set this in the stage, it's a supersonic trip through Scripture that I'm going. We've had creation, we've had the call of Abraham. The people have gone to Egypt. They've come back out with Moses. They've had a period of the judges. There were a loose confederation. Different judges oversaw things. Then they had a king, Saul. That didn't work out. So they went for option B. It was actually a pretty good option, was David. Took the kingdom to a certain place. Solomon is now king and taking the kingdom to its height. And he has built the great temple of the Lord. What points can we take from this? First, we see that God dwells among his people. All the good stuff in the temple, the gold, the precious jewels, the cedar, they did not make it holy. It was God's presence who made it holy. A home is not a home until the family arrives and settles. Say the difference between a home and a house. You could even say that a truck is just metal until someone takes the wheel and drives it. The temple was just stone until the Lord filled it. Worship is not so much about the building in which we sit, and we do sit in a very beautiful space here, but it's not so much about the building as whether or not the presence of the Lord fills it. The question is, does our Lord's presence fill us? More than a physical place of worship, too, is that Jesus is the true temple. Destroy this building, this temple, and I will raise it in 3 days. It was not the building of stone, which is what they first thought. They're going out. How long did it take to build this one? Years. And I don't think this building was built in 3 days. It took a bit longer to build this one in the 50s. But Jesus was speaking about himself. The real temple is not a building. It is the person. It is Jesus Christ. Blueprints and models are very important. but they're not the real building. The temple was like a blueprint, a model. And Jesus is the reality. Our worship is not anchored to a place, but to Jesus Christ. And from this, we see that worship matters. One person went so far as to say it must be pure if we are in fact temples of God as well. Jesus walked into the courts and saw what he saw. Now, give explain this, that at times temple could simply mean the building itself. It could also mean the temple grounds. So think about all the property occupied by this church, owned by this church, including the manse. Think of all of that. And if you're a Gentile, there's just so far you can go. There was a place you could worship. There were Gentiles that were called the God-fearers. They would go to synagogue, have their section to sit, did not go the full degree to identify as Jewish, but did worship the God of the Bible. Like the songs, the hymns, the scriptures, the prayers, they were all there for it. And so there's up to a certain space, if you're a Gentile, you could go. And that was your exposure to the faith. There was worship space. So you can either imagine a little worship space set up outside, or maybe imagine Wilbanks Hall, so if you want to keep things inside, that one of the Sunday school rooms has been dedicated as a worship space for a Gentile. Now, if you're Jewish, you can go a little further. And so either imagine we have a separate worship space here or this room, but you can only maybe three pews up. Okay, like George Venner, he's as far up as you can go. Up here were the priests. They put these on the first three row were priests. And then this was the Holy of Holies. So space in which you could go. Now, Jesus is the outer court, the area where anybody could see what is this God, this Yahweh, like. And what did he see? People were buying the animals for sacrifice. Now, there were two problems with that. One was is that they were not top quality, like Scripture said. That was always that concern. But also believed that they were being overcharged. In high school, I went with a group. Our French teacher in high school took us on a trip to France. And there we were in Paris. And the Champs-Élysées, it's this great shopping street. And I wanted to buy something to say, yeah, I bought something on the Champs-Élysées. I bought an album. I can still play it. Same album you could find at the department store, which was a nice department. Let's say it's a Dillard's of France, and was several dollars cheaper. And someone said, well, you got shafted. Not the old term is shafted. I said, well, no, I wanted to say I bought something. I said, I paid $4 to say I bought something on the Champs-Élysées. I know y'all are impressed. But anyway, the same way that things were being marked up. Maybe you've seen something at a specialty store. You can find the same item at a department store. It's like there are reasons there. This so that they're having to pay marked up. And often these are people who are struggling. Other thing was changing the money. There was a special money currency. And to change the currency, you had to pay a little fee. I remember once, it was like to our honeymoon, we were overseas and did not want to be the ugly American. Just wanted to use the local currency. So I went to the front desk, and their currency was pegged to the U.S. currency. So I gave her $40 U.S., and I got $80 in their local currency. All good. Later, on a special trip with Mary Lee, it was the 10th birthday. It was a landmark birthday. We won't mention the number, but a landmark birthday for her. Took on a trip. And so again, wanted to change the money, did it at the front desk. Excuse me, you know, they charged me this fee. So imagine, and this was a standard fee, so imagine maybe a little bit extra being charged. So all of this commercial, and it's, okay, if you have to use a temple dollar, if you have to use that, buy sacrifices, you could even say that in and of itself was not bad. It's what they were doing with it. And this is supposed to be a place of worship. And this is supposed to be the look and see our God is good kind of place. That's what he saw. This was not about worship. It was about hustling and ripping off people. He was furious. And so he did not see it done right, and he took charge. Imagine trying to fix an engine in a garage full of trash or junk. Imagine, and I have this struggle myself in the past, doing work on a desk that is piled high with various projects. And the older I get, the harder it was. I've tried to work on it now these days. You can't do the work until you clear the space. Jesus clears out the junk so real worship can happen. God cares less about the outward show and more about uncluttered hearts. So we are God's temple now. Someone in charge of a workspace takes pride in keeping the job site clean and keeping it safe. If God lives in our lives as his job site, we can be a fitting place for his work. Think about it. You belong to Christ, then everywhere you go is holy ground. Your workplace, your shop, your truck, your car, your home, God goes with you. Christ is the true temple, and worship is a life posture, our third point. Paul calls the people, through his letter to the Romans, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It is living every day with our Lord at the center. Think again, use these truck analogies, but think of the long-distance truck drivers. Many of them have some very impressive rigs. The rig is not just for transportation. It can serve as an office. Some have even little kitchenettes set up, a bed. The whole life on the road can be lived in that truck. Worship is more than just the block of time at a specific location. It means every part of one's life. Remind here it's important to keep the workspace clean, to take pride in our work and worship, to protect what matters most. And even like a good crew, they stay connected to one another. Our fellowship serves that purpose. Our Lord does not want empty shells of temples, churches, or people. Our Lord wants dwelling places filled with his presence and his glory. Solomon built a very grand house, but it was God who filled it. Jesus cleared the temple so it could be a true temple again. And now today, our Lord makes his home with us. So I'll leave you with this question. Does your life make room for God's presence? Amen. I invite you now, let us say the words of the Apostles' Creed. The words are in your bulletin.